Merry Christmas, everybody. The beauty of being Catholic is that we have an octave, right? 8 days to celebrate Christmas, right? Which ends on January 1st, which is the octave day of Christmas. And so it's like one continuous push, one continuous Christmas event, holiday that we are celebrating. So during these days, I love to like go into Walmart and tell the checkout lady, like, Merry Christmas, like a day before New Year's, and see the kind of like weird look on her face. So, but anyway, Merry Christmas and almost Happy New Year. On the Sunday after Christmas, we celebrate a beautiful feast, the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. When God became man at Christmas, God came to be part of a human family. And just as Jesus is present in the midst of Mary and Joseph, so Christ should be at the center of every human family. That is how important the family is. And that is also why the powers of hell will attack the very concept of the family at its very roots. We see this in society every day. And this is also very important for us of the need to have strong families and strong marriages, blessed by God and living in His grace. Today's gospel presents us with the presentation of Jesus in the temple. We see Mary and Joseph bringing the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to be presented to God the Father. We see this young family bringing their newborn son into the temple, placing their son before God and consecrating him to the Lord. This feast is very important for us, brothers and sisters, because it gives us an opportunity to reflect upon the beauty and the joy of family life. And there are two aspects of family life that tonight it would be beneficial to reflect upon. The first is that in the family is where children first experience God and they learn how to pray. In the family, every person learns how to give and how to receive love. And by experiencing the love of a mother and a father, children experience what it means to be loved by God. And moreover, when children are the fruit of that love, and when siblings see their parents welcome the gift of new life when a baby is born, children learn what it means to be generous, what it means to be loving, what it means to be life-giving. It is also in the family where children learn how to pray. If children see their parents praying, it's then that they will learn how to pray. There's a very moving story of St. John Paul II that when he was a young boy, he would often wake up in the middle of the night and he would observe his father kneeling beside his own bed in silent prayer on his knees in the darkness and silence of the night. John Paul II said that experience of seeing his father pray was his first seminary. And here I need to emphasize here the role of fathers in the spiritual formation of their children. The roles of father and mother are both important, and they're both necessary. But there's a special meaning to the father's role. A few years back, there was a study done by, I believe it was Rutgers University. It's a secular university in New Jersey. They did a study about how young people that grew up Catholic, many of them fell away from the faith during their college years, and then came back to the faith as young adults. In almost all cases, those who came back to the Catholic faith belonged to families in which the father regularly practiced the faith. When the father went to Mass and went to confession. Now, don't get me wrong, the mother's role is important too. But the father's role has a very special significance in the spiritual formation of the family. In today's second reading, when St. Paul addresses this, he says, "Wives, be subordinate to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives." Now, don't get me wrong. What do we mean by subordinate? Subordinate does not mean servile, okay? We're not talking about a certain slavery, like, yes, master. You know, it's not that mentality at all, right? But if we, another translation of this, and St. Paul uses this in a different way, when he says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Now, what does this mean? In Latin, this is the conjunction of two words, sub, which means under, and missio, which means mission. And so when St. Paul says, wives, be submissive to your husbands, it is a very good thing. Wives, be under the mission of your husbands. And what is the mission of a Catholic father and husband? That is to get his family to heaven. And so it is a very beautiful thing for a family to be united to the mission of the husband and father, whose mission it is to lead his family to heaven. And secondly, it is in the family that young people learn how to be open to God's will. Because the family is where children learn how to be generous and they learn how to pray, in the family, children learn to hear God's voice and to answer it. It's in the family that children learn what it means to be truly open to God's will. I knew that when I was growing up that whether God called me to be married or whether God called me to be a priest, I knew that my parents would be happy either way. It didn't matter that if I got married or if I became a priest, as long as I was obedient to God's will. That's the only thing that mattered to my parents. But the sad reality is that when I went to seminary, I met young men in the seminary whose parents were completely opposed to them going to seminary and becoming a priest because they wanted grandchildren. They put their own desires before the will of God and even jeopardized their son's salvation and following God's will. But the beautiful thing about family life is that it fosters openness and joy, or should. The family helps children to discern. What is God calling me not only to do, but what is God calling me to be? And families should be open, and children should feel the freedom, to discern the various possibilities, whether God is calling them to marriage or priesthood or religious life. And so you see, these two aspects of family life, of strong family life, where children learn how to pray, and secondly, where children learn how to discern God's will and to answer it. We see these two things in the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. What do Mary and Joseph do? They present their child, they present their son to the Lord. They receive the gift of their son with joy, and with him they lived a life of prayer. They lived a family life of faith. And moreover, they allowed their son to do the Father's will, even though it meant his death and crucifixion on the cross. Mary and Joseph allowed their son the freedom to be obedient to God's will. And Jesus followed his vocation, his calling, to be the Son of God and to be the Savior of the world. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us, especially as we begin this new year and we think about the various New Year's resolutions that we want to make, building our prayer life of our families strong. Let's do so this year. Especially something more than prayers before meals. That's a great thing and it's a good place to start. But possibly by praying the rosary together, reading scripture together, reading the word of God, really immersing ourselves in God's word as a family. And secondly, praying for your children and grandchildren's vocation, and in a special way, entrusting their vocation to the Blessed Mother, asking Our Lady to protect them, to protect their vocation, so that they may be able to answer their vocation with a joyous yes. These two things we have before us. And the challenge is great, but it's a challenge worth taking, and a challenge that is possible to be met with God's grace. And so let us ask Mary, Jesus, and Joseph that as Jesus was the center, his presence was in the midst of the Holy Family, may his presence be at the center of our families as well. Amen.